This is the Horse Radio Network.
What a beautiful day for horses in the morning.
Good Wednesday morning, everybody. I am Glenn the Geek from Ocala, Florida.
And I'm Jamie Jennings from Phoenix, Arizona, and you're listening to Horses in the Morning on the Horse Radio Network for February 15th, episode 1632. Today, we are brought to you by horselovers.com. Good morning, horse world.
Everybody up, rise and shine. It's a new day.
It's Wednesday, Wednesday, Wednesday.
Here we can go again.
And away we go.
Well, I told you guys Monday that my little child, Lucas, has been, he's 3 and a half, and he's been wanting to ride. All of a sudden, a switch flipped, and he wants riding lessons. So he took his third riding lesson yesterday. But I've got to give a little shout out to Stephanie at Horse Lovers, because I told you guys, like, he wears like 5T, which is, for those who don't know kid sizes, that's like toddler fives. So like little tiny people pants. And I want to get him some riding breeches so bad. I can't stand it. He has some little paddock boots that are two sizes too big that were given to us.
But he'll grow into them.
He'll grow into them. He did trip and fall yesterday. He's like, look how fast I am. I'm like, no, don't run in those. But boom, down he goes. Down goes Frazier. Because his toe's like, he's not used to 2 inches out the toe. But Stephanie sent me a size chart. And now I have to find some way to measure his waist and inseam. Does anybody have like bendy rulers? Or
you have to go to the Michaels store and just get one of those. What do they call them, Jennifer? The ones the sewers use.
I think
it's
called a tape measure, people.
No, but the sewers use the.
It's called a tape measure.
No, but the sewers use the one that's all flexible. Rolls up in a ball.
And I realized, too, while I'm talking, that I do have the tape measure to tell how tall a horse is. So, you know, I have that. So if a hand is 4 inches, then I just need to measure how many hands my child's inseam is, how many hands his
waist. You know,
there
is another easier way to do all that. You just take a string, you put it around his waist, and then you mark it, and you take the string and measure it.
I like using my hand measure, my height measuring tape better. Okay, problem solved. But anyway, thanks, Stephanie.
Yeah, that was send awesome. It over to Stephanie at horselovers.com.
Your child is going to be 1 and a half hands around.
I need a 1 and a half hands pair of breeches.
Yes, exactly. Hopefully I can do that math. But it's funny because I was like, hey, my child wears 5T. She's like, I'm going to have to contact the manufacturer. So like,
I know they make them that small. You see pictures of cute little kids riding.
Do you know where you see cute little pictures of cute little kids riding cute little ponies is England.
That's true.
Like you go to Horse and Hound, you'll just squeal. I can't find that stuff here.
It's here. Ugh. I know that some, does Ovation make them that small?
Probably. Anyway,
yeah, I don't know.
Now I have a size chart to go by. I just need to measure how many hands Lucas's inseam is. And that's going to be stand still. No, stand here. No, stop. Stop. Stop it. Stop it. Oh, stop it. Okay, lay down. Okay, lay down. No,
you wait till
he's.
I saw him in bed with his paddocks the other day, and Jennifer's comment was, well, at least he's wearing clothes. So there's that.
Oh, he is. Jennifer, what's coming up on today's show?
Coming up on today's horselovers.com Wacky Wednesday edition, we are going to have our ND Flax Horse Health Report covering two topics. Woohoo! A bonus. And then next up, we're going to have Sharon Londano, who is the president of the Pasofino Association, just for you, all of our gated fans out there. And then wrapping things up, we'll have a little news review and maybe even a product review. So that's what's coming up. So stay tuned for the fray, folks.
Thank you, Jennifer. Well, my Daily Whinny is one of these.
Happy birthday, happy birthday, happy
It's Auditor Stephanie Eileen's birthday today, so happy birthday, Stephanie. She's the one we're being really nice to because she bought the property that's going to be close to the WEG, and we're all going to be staying at her yard. So we have to make sure we acknowledge every move Stephanie makes and pat her on the back and tell her how much we love her. We love you, Stephanie. For the next 18 months, you're going to be very loved. Just saying. Your turn.
Oh, my daily Winnie goes out to Echo. I've spent some money in the past couple of days, or at least my family has. First of all, Megan Aline, one of our auditors, made hats that say geld that sh, and then everything is geld that, you know, my favorite statement.
Yes.
So I just bought a
symbols.
Hat.
Yeah. With little yeah. symbols. Yes. Yes. I noticed she didn't use the actual word.
No. No, and she was kind enough to yeah, but it gets the point across perfectly. So, and then she also had a T-shirt that I bought for my dressage friend that says shoulders back like a queen and then hips like a whore. You know, just all these great things in her Etsy shop. So if you guys want a list, let me know. We can post a link on our Horses in the Morning Facebook page to her Etsy shop. It's really cute stuff. Also. Husband, fantastic job for the Valentine's Day. I told you guys he had to work and he was going to be out and about flying a F-16 or something like that during Valentine's Day. I got the Monty Roberts training saddle for Valentine's Day. A saddle! And I said, I hate Valentine's Day. What are you doing? We don't do Valentine's Day. And he was like, well, if you recall, I had to return my birthday gift because the boots didn't fit, and then my Christmas gift, he got me a camera, one of those helmet cams, a GoPro, and I got him a GoPro, so we had to send one of the GoPros back. And he was like, so honestly, you didn't really get a birthday present or Christmas present, so I got you a saddle. So I'm so excited. I rode in it yesterday, and you can see a picture of me standing up in the saddle because I
kind of looks
in.
it kind of looks like a vaulting saddle.
So what Monty did to it, it's awesome. If you watched any of the Monty Roberts University where I'm riding Hogan, it's actually what I'm riding Hogan in. And it's an exercise rider saddle for jockeys, not jockeys, exercise riders ride in this little postage stamp of a saddle, but it's not small as jockey saddles. And then he constructed like a handle thing that goes on the front of it. And it's awesome. They don't even have them on their website. I was just looking. You can call Adam at the office if you are interested in them. I think somebody makes them overseas and sends them over as ordered. But it's so cool because you can, you know, for when you're like starting a horse, you slide it up there. And when you get on for the first time, it's nice to have a big old handle right in front of you.
And it's exactly what the vaulter saddles look like because they have the
really?
Handle in the front. It's exactly, it looked, that's what I said, wow, Jamie bought a vaulter saddle. But yeah, and it's made, you know, they make them a little wider. They make them a lot, well, they can get as wide as they need to be because they're usually on draft horses. But
well,
yeah,
did he
figure that out himself or did he write to Debbie or had you said you wanted one?
I had said I wanted one.
Oh, okay. I was going to give him too much credit then.
I had definitely said I've wanted one for a long time and I just said, you know, when I go out there in April, I'm getting one. I'm going to get one in April, blah, 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 you know, and just trying to, you know, when you want something like that, you have to start ahead of time kind of massaging the idea, you know, like, hey, in April, I'm going to spend some money months away.
And now you don't have to. Now you can buy something else.
Now I can buy something else. Gosh. Great point. Okay. Well, we'll keep going. Anyway, awesome job, husband.
Well, and I saw you the picture of you standing on Zeus. Apparently, our guest on Monday motivated you.
Yeah, I know. Well, I was trying to break in that saddle and it's really stiff. And I thought, well, I'll just stand in it. And he was so good. He just stood there perfect. And my, you know what it is, honestly, is my dad's been here for a week and I just love freaking him out. I just... Everything that I do on a horse, my father verbally gasps. I mean, I can jump a fence. I'll lead a horse and it'll get a little frisky. My dad, wait. I'm like, Dad, get your camera out. Okay, take a picture. Oh, Jamie. I hear that all the time. Oh, Jamie. Even when I'm driving, I hear that, like, Jamie. But I think I drive faster when he's in the car just to freak him out because it really bothers him.
Love torturing their parents. It doesn't matter what age they are.
No, no, because he deserves it. He's such a like, I do this every day and now you're freaked out. Like, so I was like, take a picture, Dad. And I stood up and now I've realized I have to get another Monty Roberts saddle to put on Thor so I can start Roman riding.
There you go.
Thanks to all the
Nothing
suggestion.
Could go wrong with that.
Oh, Jamie.
It'll be perfect. Nothing could go wrong. Jamie. No, you look good standing up there. Next, you'll be vaulting and you'll be hanging underneath and over the top and out the back.
That's a very tolerant little Mustang.
He's I'd so say cool. He is a good little Mustang, isn't he?
Yeah.
Well, that's good. That was good. And a couple things here before we get to our first segment, the ND Flax Horse Health Report. We talked yesterday about everybody from the Oroville Dam area, south of Oroville Dam in California, not too far from where Karen lives. They had to be evacuated. Well, they were told they could go back yesterday, so they started flooding back to their homes, 200,000 people. They've gotten the dam level down, and apparently enough rocks dropped in by helicopter.
Is that a pun?
Yeah.
They
so
started flooding back to their home?
Yep, so they're back to their homes. And
it.
No, I didn't.
Thank
get
you,
it.
Jennifer. Thank you. You said they're flooding back to their homes.
Look, I did a pun without even knowing. So
I love Jennifer.
You don't even know.
You're I know. Jeez. Anyway, so they're heading back, but they've been told that they must be prepared to leave on a moment's notice because they're expecting a ton more rain this weekend.
So
they have to be ready to leave on a moment's notice, be packed and ready to go. So apparently all the people with horses too, there are a lot of people with horses in that valley. So they're heading home now. I think I'd leave my horses wherever they are for another week to be sure. And then I wanted to also mention that there's a bunch of jobs available right now at the Washington International Horse Show. If you go to their website at WIHS.org/jobs, that's Washington International Horse Show, and you go to their jobs page, there is a bunch of jobs available and internships available. They need a marketing and sponsorship director. They need an operations coordinator, and there's a bunch of internship opportunities. Now, the only negative is you have to live in Washington, D.C. So I do know we have some auditors that live near Washington, and we have a bunch of listeners that live in Northern Virginia. So I just wanted to mention that. They're looking for people right now. And I think
awesome.
The two main jobs there are full-time. They're not just part-time jobs. And then one more thing before we get to our horse health report. You texted me last night, and I thought it was fun that you had listened to the new show.
Oh, my gosh. You guys, if you have not listened to Around the Track, it is the new Pollock Report podcast. It's on horseradionetwork.com. It's not, excuse me, it's not quite on the app yet. Holy cow. That was the best podcast I've ever listened to. And I mean, I've listened to a lot of radio, but just... it's not racy. Like, if you don't like horse racing, you will love this because it's Michael Blowen talking about how he created Old Friends and started Old Friends and got it off the ground. I was listening to it while I was driving around getting hay. And I'm like loading hay and the guys are like, hey, come on back. I'm like, shh, stop talking. Shh. Because somehow when I rewind it just started over. So I didn't want to do that again. Anyway, it is so good. And it's produced very well. And the gentleman who is kind of the host.
That's Scott. He's the editor of the Pollock Report.
Well, he did a fantastic job.
Could you tell he worked at NPR for like 10 years?
Yeah, but he wasn't boring.
No, he wasn't boring.
You know, it was like, he just has this great way. And it wasn't like a question and answer interactive kind of thing. It was like he kind of set it up and let Michael Blowen talk. And it was just really good.
I've interviewed Michael many times here on the shows over the years. But he got some things out of him I didn't know about. Like all the celebrity stuff.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool.
I thought I knew Michael Blow, and I really learned a lot more about him. And joking, he was like, yeah, he didn't really like me. Cause I reviewed movies. Who likes those guys?
He was very self-deprecating. Funny. He was. Yeah.
Yeah. And it was just really, really, really good. So even if you're not a racing person, you will enjoy this show. It's kind of like an Equestrian Legends type feel to me. So it was really good. Really good. I'm so proud that that's on our network.
And I am too. And they know a lot. Obviously the Pollock Report, the people at the Pollock Report know everybody that's anybody in racing. So they're going to be some really good interviews.
I'm so excited for what they can pull off here, because they, like you said, they know everybody. It's going to be so interesting to listen to. And I'm excited about upcoming one. So is it every 2 weeks?
It's coming out twice a month, and it's going to be on the 10th and the 25th. So there'll be another one coming out on the 25th.
Okay, cool.
Yep. That is on iTunes now. I did a search and found it. So it means it should be on all of your podcast players. It should be on Google Play. So it should be everywhere. It's going to be on our app in the next couple of days. There'll be a new update for our app, so it'll be added to that. I just got that word yesterday. So it'll be available everywhere very, very shortly.
And the guy who runs TaylorMade was also, because the episode is brought to you by TaylorMade, and I learned a lot about TaylorMade Farm.
He did that very well. Yes, I did too, actually. And that's pretty cool when your title sponsor is TaylorMade.
So, yes, and my it's so
home
funny
to
California Chrome. There you baby. Go. Come on. So TaylorMade Farm has California Chrome, and I've been dying to go see him. So I'm trying to get tickets to go see California Chrome when we're in Kentucky and just make a farm tour out of it. And trying to get the tickets on Horse Country. And my husband's like, you're going to go to TaylorMade? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, the TaylorMade? And I'm like, what do you know about it? What are you talking about? He's like, my driver is TaylorMade. I was like, you're what? His golf club. I'm like, oh, okay. Yeah.
Different
company. I'm sure that's the same TaylorMade, but it's a different TaylorMade. I'm not going to go visit a manufacturer of golf clubs. Okay. He's like, you're going to TaylorMade? Yeah. So that is that the same place that does golf clubs, like the general company?
I don't think so. Maybe Jennifer could look that one up, but I don't think it is. It might, I don't know where TaylorMade got their money, right? I don't know where that money originally came from. It wasn't from horses. We know that anybody that's in the horse world didn't get their money from horses. That we do know.
This is true. This is true. So I was just like, what an elite life you have to have. Like, golf clubs and race horses. We play golf and bet on horses. Like, all right,
let's head into the ND Flax Horse Health Report. Today we have two excerpts from the Healthy Critters show.
Hold on, I got to tell you. Do you want me to tell you about ND Flax first?
We'll do that after. Okay. Today we have two excerpts from the Healthy Critters show, and you can listen to the entire segment at horseradionetwork.com. It's episodes 14 and 30 of the Healthy Critters show. And if you don't listen to the Healthy Critters show, you probably should. This sounds like a big plug for other shows today. But I just happened to, for the first time in a long time, produce the show with them. Jennifer usually does it. She was sick last week, so I did it. Those two are a hoot. I can see why Jennifer enjoys doing that with them. They're just a hoot. The first one you're going to hear today, the first little segment, is about stress and the gut-brain connection. Say that fast. And tips on keeping your horses hydrated during weird weather changes. So this is Tigger from the Healthy Critters show, and we'll be right back.
Welcome to Critter Nutrition. Today we're going to talk about stress and the gut-brain connection. One of the most common issues in horses of all lifestyles and ages is stomach ulcers, also known as equine gastric ulcer syndrome. Signs of this health challenge can be weight loss, poor body condition and hair coat, reduced appetite, decreased performance, poor attitude, including irritability, resistance, reluctance to go forward, increased spookiness, less focus, girthiness, sensitivity to being groomed, and colic. The underlying root of gastric ulcers is stress. The stress can come from a variety of causes: training stress, shipping stress, competition stress, large meals of processed feeds, limited hay, limited pasture, medications, and illness. There is also the stress from a horse in a new turnout situation, with a new pasture mate, or being moved to a new barn or stall. The stress of the humans around the horse, the stress of the rider and the trainer, the stress of the other horses. There can be stress from abrupt weather pattern changes, as well as long-term weather extremes like drought. The conventional approach to ulcers is the use of omeprazole, also known as Gastrogard. This proton pump inhibitor reduces gastric acid secretion. It literally turns it off to give the mucosa time to heal. There is no question that omeprazole works, and most horses with gastric ulcers are healed within 4 to 6 weeks. But oftentimes we see horses treated for gastric ulcers develop another gastric ulcer weeks or months after treatment. Back on to omeprazole, these horses go, and the merry-go-round of medicine and relapse continues. When a horse feels stress, the body ramps up the production of cortisol from the adrenal gland. The horse's brain releases norepinephrine and communicates with the gut, sending news of stress, altering what it would normally do so that the mind and gut can fight off the imminent stressor. This is a beneficial response to imminent stress, the fight or flight reaction. Chronic stress, however, causes the stress hormones like cortisol to be released frequently. The brain-gut axis triggers low-grade inflammation, resulting in decreased nutrient absorption and less blood flow to the GI tract. Chronic stress disrupts the immune system, desensitizing it to cortisol and heightening the inflammatory response. Excess cortisol can increase blood sugar levels, decrease protein synthesis, lower immune function, and reduce prostaglandin production. Prostaglandins in the GI tract protect the mucosa from the acids of the stomach. High levels of cortisol over a period of time have effects on the brain. Neuroscientists at the University of California, Berkeley, have found that chronic stress triggers changes in brain function and structure. Some of the effects on the brain of chronic stress include reduced ability to learn or remember. It can shrink the hypothalamus and prefrontal cortex that is critical for control of impulsive behavior, and it reduces levels of critical neurotransmitters, including serotonin and dopamine, which play an important role in mood, learning, concentration, appetite, and sleep. There are two kinds, fundamentally, of stressed horses. You have the equine internalizer and the equine extrovert. The equine extrovert generally makes it very clear to the humans that he or she does not feel good and is stressed. This is the horse who overreacts to stimuli, who lets you know in no uncertain terms there is a boogeyman in the corner of the arena. These horses don't hide the fact that their tummies hurt. The equine internalizer is a much more difficult read. This is the horse that doesn't display outward symptoms of stress. These are the stoic horses, the ones that are harder to read and the symptoms more subtle. We treat for gastric ulcers and then they return. Unless we eliminate all stress or all that our horse perceives as stress, it can be a constant merry-go-round. Equine calmers focus on the symptoms of stress, mainly the overactive, spooky, lack of concentration in horses. While these equine supplement calmers do work, they are missing a vital component. They don't deal with cortisol.
So we're at the Tigopedia part of our show where we get to ask Tigger a good question. And I thought with the temperature starting to drop, it would be, wise to ask, what are some good tips for preparing horses for sudden drops in temperature? Because that happens everywhere.
The most important for me is hydration.
Right.
And so many, the gassy colics and things are because in a drop in temperature, the horse isn't drinking as much. So what I do is I keep their feed the same. I may add a yeast probiotic because that works in the hindgut. It's warming. It increases circulation. But then I add a extra bucket of really well-soaked, sloppy hay cubes. And, you know, Timothy alfalfa, because the dry hay, and they're not drinking, can, you know, cause an impaction. So that's why I give them a really big, generous bucket of soaked alfalfa cubes or soaked Timothy cube, or a combination of both. And
most horses love that.
They love it. I try not to change their feed too much other than adding a probiotic because I, again, you know, some people I know like to add bran. I'm not a big bran fan.
Right.
So I don't want to add, especially a wheat product. So that's why I could go with a big bucket of soaked hay cubes.
Cool. I think that's a good thing. And I know that another thing that both you and I do is I always keep Himalayan salt blocks in.
Oh, it's
the horse's
in fact
salt.
I give salt every day of the year. Just recently discovered myself is you know, I've been using the horse hydrator, and these horses are really drinking more with that filter. So I would say that, you know, if you have a sudden drop in temperature and you've got the horse hydrator, make sure that the water in their stalls, in their feed, in the soaked hay cubes is a really good filtered water because they will drink more, even if they're good drinkers.
Yeah, cool. That's good to know. Cool. And where can they get the horse hydrator?
Oh, they can get it from Biostar.
Oh, my
gosh,
I didn't know that.
Fancy that.
Well, that's cool. That, I think, is good tips for all listeners if they are experiencing weather getting cold. And sometimes, especially here in Houston, it gets cold pretty rapidly, and then it can get warm again. But this way, all of these tips ensure that our horses are continue to be hydrated and continue to drink with no problems.
And, of course, you can find the BioStar show, which is Healthy Critters, over at horseradionetwork.com on all our apps. Everywhere that you find our shows, you'll find the Healthy Critters show. And it was brought to you by ND Flax. Oh, Jamie, are you there?
I'm right here. Was that my cue?
That was your cue. I threw it to you. It was so beautiful. You dropped the ball.
I was just listening to you. I'm like, I thought you had two of these to play. You must have played them both.
They were both in there. Yep.
Okay. ND Flax is family owned and has been doing it for generations. ND Flax has an FDA inspected mill, certified organic, non-GMO whole flax seed, and it is milled at room temperature, then packaged and stored away at room temperature from any heat or light sources. This proprietary milling process keeps all the omega-3s intact, so your horse can benefit from all of Flax's natural nutrients. Yet, it's convenient for busy horse owners with a shelf life for up to 2 years. No more daily battles with the coffee grinder. Visit ND Flax online at ndflaxmill.com to purchase or learn more. Plus, you can see your horse. Oh, this is cool. First of all, let me just comment that going back, listen to the episode where we had Indy Flax on. This is amazing stuff. This is awesome. Plus, you can see your horse on the label. You're going to be on the label by entering. Well, you're not going to be on the label. I am. But you can enter their picture contest, and the winner is going to win 6 months of your horse photo on their new label and one free bag of cold milled flaxseed for those 6 months. We put a link on our Horses in the Morning and our auditor Facebook pages. Good luck. Maybe you'll win the next 6 months, but right now Baby Zara and or Zeus are going to win.
Well, I'm just looking here at the pictures on here. And by the way, when you go to the page, to enter, scroll all the way down. I missed that at first. Scroll all the way down, and you'll see all the pictures of the people. Beth just sent one in, a couple in. Oh, this girl named Jamie just sent a couple in. There's Lucas sitting there. That one's cute. That one's got a shot. Is that Chili?
Yes.
That's Lucas on Chili. And there's like pages of. you must have sent in a few there, Jamie.
You're allowed to send in four.
You're stacking the deck there.
You're allowed to send in four. I read the rules. You probably just clicked OK. But you can send in four. So I sent in four.
I didn't send in Scooters yet. Oh, this is really cute. Like mother, like daughter from Ella. Oh, that little baby has a shot of beating your little baby. Little gray baby, or I don't know, roan or something, but cute as a Dickens. So anyway, get your entries in. You could be on the bag. You could get 6 months of flax. But I think the coolest part of all of that, you know, beside getting the freebies, is having your horse on the bag. That's really cool on the label. That's neat. And we also, you can find ND Flax. So you just head to find the entry form, the address is really long, but the website is ndflaxmill.com. If you're in need of some flax and want to go buy some, get the best, head over to ndflaxmill.com. All right, our guest is ready. Do you want me to get this started?
Well, if you would like.
Okay. Well, we had a request from a lot of our listeners. Well, it wasn't a request so much, Jamie. It was they were yelling at us for not for not talking enough about gated breeds. So we're remedying that today with our first guest. Her name is Shannon. She is president of the Pasofino Association, or Sharon, rather, sorry. Good morning, Sharon.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, we have a lot of listeners that ride gated breeds, and we have been guilty of not talking about them enough. So we're going to get the talk started with Pasofinos today, which is what I think when somebody thinks gated, and especially dramatically gated, they think of Pasofinos, right?
Oh, absolutely. It's the champagne of horses. Why wouldn't you want to ride one of those?
She's not biased.
No, not at all. A good one to be president of the association. So now, this is kind of going to be a breed highlight for us, where we take a look at the breed and dig in deep about it. So tell us how the Pasofino came to be and how it came to be here in the United States.
Well, it was devised from a Spanish breed called the Spanish Jennet, and the Spanish Jennet had an amble, and that amble became one of the comfortable rides of the military, especially in the islands, Puerto Rico, Dominican, and Colombia. And later, they realized that this comfortable breed could let them go more miles and miles as they needed to travel, so they started refining that breed to what today is called the Pasofino, which, from Spanish to English, it means fine step. Then later, as the military came back home, they kind of went, you know what? I really miss my really smooth gait. I really wish I could have it. So they started bringing their trusty steeds back to the United States. And so it has developed into a passion and a love, especially for people that want to be able to ride, aren't able to ride the traditional gates, and want to just have fun, because they have a whole array of temperaments, from the trail riding horse all the way to the show spirited animals that are just amazing and gorgeous and quick, and it just gives everybody a whole delectable tablet of what they would like to have.
I was at a show, I forget what show it was, it was in the last 2 years, where they had Pasofinos that you know, riders who have never ridden a Pasofino could get on. And it's universal, the first time anybody rides a Pasofino is they giggle nonstop.
That is so true. It's because they don't know what to do with all those little egg beaters that are going underneath them. And then when they get on top and realize there's nothing for them to do but to enjoy it, all you can do is giggle with excitement and pleasure.
It is. Everybody was just giggling the whole time they were riding. And I could see why. So kind of explain the gates to us.
All right. Well, the Pasofino gate has one gate. It is a 4-beat footfall. It is in the sequence of a walk, hind to fore, hind to fore. And because it's four beats, it breaks up the suspension, what you would consider of a traditional trot. Breaking that suspension gives you that smooth sense of feeling that you feel when you ride the Pasofino along. Now, in Pasofino land, we have three speed forms of it. The first speed form is a corto, and the corto means short in Spanish. And then there is largo, which means long, which is our extended speed, where we like to really, we even have races at that speed. And then the most collected speed, which is only a show ring gate, is called classic fino, or just fino, which means refined. So we have one gate, three different speeds that we can ride them at. And then they also do the traditional canter or walk.
And I think that surprises a lot of people, is that they actually do canter.
Oh, yeah. And some of them are just amazing. And then some have a little bit steeper shoulder that might give you a little bit of a Pepe Le Pew type of action, which maybe not the most favorable canter ride. But we have some that are amazingly lopish, really comfortable. They can really cover some nice ground at the lope. And then they also can take that and go over jumps. Take it to the obstacles. They're really great in the competitive trail. And then they switch it over because they have such great lung capacity and they haven't been truly Americanized, where we try to make everything bigger is better. They stay pretty much true to form from when they first started coming over. Their bone density is so good that they're amazingly sturdy little buggers that go out and can do endurance and stamina tests as well.
Now, the one thing that I noticed here, and it's so funny because we live in an equestrian neighborhood here in Ocala, Florida, and there's a bunch of Pasofinos in this neighborhood. And when I drive carriage. So when I'm driving the carriage around the neighborhood and you can hear the Pasofinos a mile away because you guys always practice on the wood planking. And so you hear them practicing. Yeah, it sounds like a machine gun from a distance. But you can hear them practicing, and you know you're coming up on a Pasofino farm when you hear that sound.
Well, and that sound, or that planking that you were talking about, we call it our sounding board. And it's a tool that we use more to show off to the spectators and the exhibitors when they're competing or when they're working, to listen to the cadence, because there is a purest form of the Pasofino gaitus when it meets equality between the footsteps and you get the clear ticky, 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 ticky sound. And sometimes with that impurity, you'll have to refine it or collect it or extend it a little bit to try to find that little pure niche. And that's what we judge on, is we want the purest form, because this is a natural born gait to the Pasofino. This is not something that we have to put chains or heavy shoes on or anything else like that. They're just born doing this. And in fact, we can't have any more than 10 ounces of alloy on their feet should we shoe them. The shoe is just meant to protect their feet, not to enhance their gait in any form or fashion.
So where did this, how did that become, how is that bred in? I don't get it. Like, it's just so amazing, because these little foals come out and they're like, and they come out like that. It's just incredible. What was the, I guess, what's the word I'm looking for? What's the point? Like, what's the foundation? Was it because, you know, with the walking horses, they're like, well, you had to ride fences and check them out, you know, and things like that. What is the fundamental reason that these horses were bred?
The fundamental reason is the translation to the smoothness of the rider. One of the things that you look for when you watch a Pasofino go is you don't watch the horse so much. Well, a lot of people do, because it's distracting when you watch the feet go. But if you just watch the hat or the shoulders of your rider, that's what the legs correlate to. That incredibly smooth ride that can be done at really collected speeds or very extended speeds. And so when they get these extended speeds and they can fly along their trails with their buddies, or they can collect it up and just go comfortably along, they don't have to worry about 2-3 hours in the saddle and having to have sore back or sore muscles or anything else, because it's more therapeutic. It's more like a little massage. So this incredible gait has turned into one of the best therapeutic gaits, especially for our not so fresh community of horse enthusiasts, as I would like to say.
What do you mean not so fresh? Oh, like
older.
Like me, Jamie. Like me.
I'm like, We got some stinky horse people. We're all stinky.
Trying to be kind. Yeah,
see, I thought they developed that gait because one of the classes you have is a champagne class. So I thought they developed the gait just so everybody could drink successfully while they ride.
Well, that's just our cover up. Okay. We like to have fun with our pastafinos, and one of the classes is that one. And we had a sponsor when we were in Lexington, Kentucky for 5 years with our national show, and one of the bourbon groups up there came on board, and we actually had a bourbon race, which became very, very popular at that point.
I bet. Bourbon always becomes popular at some point. So
About three bourbons in,
right? So now, have you found
them? For a horse. Three bourbons in.
Yeah, that's right. Depends. You know, they kind of look like they're three bourbons in, actually, pastafinos while they're going. So, or three. No, they actually look like they're three espressos in, is what they look like.
That's
so
exactly what they look like.
Are they becoming more popular? Is their popularity increasing? Is it
maintaining? How many are there in the U.S.?
Well, we have over 50,000 registered since the onset of registering pastafinos back in the late 60s. But our membership is well over 3,000, and we are constantly growing. And the uptick with the equine market right now is really affecting the pastafino market because people are really wanting these horses. You're getting an aging equine community, and they don't want to give up the horse. I mean, come on, the horse is the best creature out there. And so why have to give it up when you can still enjoy it when you ride a gated horse such as the pastafino, where it's really refined? It can do everything that the traditional horses can do, minus the trot. And they enjoy it. They can continue being a horse enthusiast, and they don't have to give it up just because they got a little old or a little sore in the body or have a little bit of a handicap due to some accident or something along the way that prevents them from riding.
Got it. Well, that makes sense. Jennifer, you trail ride a lot here in Florida. Do you see a lot of pastafinos out on the trails?
Here locally in Ocala, there is a very strong pastafino community. Absolutely. Yeah. Huh. And it's funny because some of the
Go ahead, Jennifer. Go ahead.
I always assumed that pastafinos were, quote, hot because for the most part, until we moved down here where there's lots of trail riders, the only ones I saw were the ones on videos doing the shows, and they're kind of amped up. That's a high energy thing they do. But I found out here that when they're trained to be trail horses, yeah, they move along at quite a pace, but they're just so cool. They're like, they're family horses. It just makes me think of the steady family horse that, yeah, if the teenagers want to get on and go fast, they'll do that. But if grandma wants to get on and go slow, yeah, they're okay with that too.
Wow. Yeah, you're absolutely right. You're absolutely discussing the two types of temperament we have. We do have the amped up show ring horse, but the cool thing is when you drop the reins and say, ho, and quiet out, they have the innate ability to judge what the rider is, and they'll just go like quiet down. And that's why you'll see little kids riding amped up horses or vice versa. And it just makes that the most diversified animal. We have a strong presence, like you said, in Ocala, but throughout, our biggest membership is the Rec Riders, and they are now becoming one of the foremost sought after horses for these competitive trails and endurance rides because they have this smooth gait. They're able to keep up with the Arabians and the other breeds that have been known for their stamina throughout the centuries, basically. And they're able to do that with a comfortableness that they aren't able to achieve with a traditional horse.
All right. Now tell me if we have a listener that's going out to buy their first pastafino, what would you tell a new pastafino buyer? Let's assume they know horses. Our listeners know horses. So, but they're going to get their first pastafino. What should they look for and what shouldn't they look for? I think you know what I'm asking.
Exactly. Well, the good pastafino is the one that when you get on and you have the reins kind of just hammocked around their neck and just standing there quiet, they should stand there quiet. You should be able to touch them wherever you want to go. You should be able to wiggle in the saddle, and they shouldn't move. They should be just a gentleman of a type of horse, very mannered, very kind. And one of the things you don't want to look for is horses that fly to the back of the stall, you know, that are twitchy as you go to approach them. Those are the horses that, you know, in any breed, aren't a desirable trait. You want something that is truly accepting of the human and just is willing to take whatever you can throw at it. You know, it might question something, but as long as it accepts it in the end, it's exactly what we need to do.
Just like any other horse. That's just like, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, just the same rules apply, I guess. Well, this is great. I think it's a lot of fun. And we, as I said, we certainly see a lot of them here in our neighborhood. And they come in all colors. They all seem to be in that 14 and a half to 15 and a half range in that area, height-wise. Am I right?
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
That is absolutely correct. They go, you know, you can get some little ones down to 13 too, but average height is 14.1 to 14.2. You'll get a big one or two up to 15 hands, and they do come. They're even pinto colors. We, you know, it's the full flavor or bouquet of colors of the horse.
Okay.
That's what we get.
Well, very cool. Where's the best place when a Pasofino person goes to buy a Pasofino? Do they go to the usual Dream Horse and all of that, or where do people go?
Actually, that Dream Horse is great. We have a marketplace on our website, which is pfha.org, which it means Pasofino Horse Association.org. And there's also communities of horses that we do. We even have a rescue group, and we're getting ready to put on a hot link to our website, which would allow for networking of some of these horses that people have rescued or rehomed. And so to give people an opportunity who want a Pasofino that maybe can't afford a higher dollar horse, but have a loving, caring hand and heart, they can rescue one of those or repurpose it.
And the other thing on that note, the other thing I heard about Pasofinos is that they're pretty easy keepers. So that, you know, they're not going to eat like a draft horse. They're fairly easy keepers. And you know, from the ones we've seen, that it looks to be that way.
Oh, it's amazing how easy they are to keep. I mean, because once they hit their maturity at between 4.5 and 5 years of age, you know, you really don't have to grain them too hard. You know, a pound of food for them goes a very long way. And it's partly because their metabolism for digestion purposes is pretty slow. And so you don't want to overfeed them, because then you don't want to get into all your lameness issues with founder and stuff like that.
Well, Sharon, president of the Pasofino Association, pfha.org is where you can find it. Thanks so much for giving us our breed highlight on the Pasofino.
Oh, thanks for inviting me. You guys are great, and I hope you have an awesome day.
All right. Thanks, Sharon. Well, there you go.
Bye-bye.
Have you ever ridden one, Jamie?
No, I have never. I have never ridden a Pasofino. I've ridden a Peruvian Paso, and I've ridden a Tennessee walking horse. But I think you're exactly right. I would probably just giggle.
Everybody we've seen, everybody at this demonstration just laughed. I
giggle watching them go.
I know.
I'm like, how is that normal? But that's so refreshing to hear that they don't mess with the gait at all. They don't put shoes on any heavier than we put on. That's just so refreshing to hear.
Yep. They don't need the extra crap to make it happen. But that just goes to show you, not to get all political here, but this just goes to show you that it could happen in other breeds too, right? So So there you go. All right, let's take a break for Fairfield.
Cool.
And then we're coming back with Jennifer. She's going to do a product review on something we've been testing for about a month now, and we're going to hear how that went. All right, here in just a minute. Fairfield Inn & Suites North by Marriott Lexington is the ideal hotel for you, as they are the closest hotel to the Kentucky Horse Park. They have the most spacious guest rooms and suites in the area, and they're only 4 miles from downtown Lexington. Fairfield Inn & Suites North offers complimentary breakfast, free Wi-Fi throughout the hotel, free parking, a business center, an indoor swimming pool and jacuzzi, an outdoor patio with grill, laundry facilities, and much more. You get hungry, Cracker Barrel is located right next door, and there are four other dining options available within walking distance for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. Of course, Lexington is known for the Kentucky Horse Park, University of Kentucky, Keeneland, and the historical Kentucky Bourbon Trail. Enjoy a terrific hotel experience while you're touring Lexington. There's no denying that the Lexington North Fairfield Inn & Suites is the best value in town and will meet all your hospitality needs. Just Google Fairfield Inn North Lexington and make your reservations today.
Well, I just wanted to send out a little bit of a, well, I have two news stories. Do you want the sad one or the happy one first?
Let's do the sad first and unhappy.
Okay. And unhappy. Well, sad news. California Chrome's sire died the day before Valentine's Day of an apparent heart attack.
Oh, wow.
This is Lucky Pulpit, sire of California Chrome, only 16 years old. But, I mean, if you're going to go the way he went, he was covering a mare and had a total heart attack.
No.
When it happened. So, yep.
I'll tell you how every guy wants to go.
I mean, if you're going to go, but unfortunately, it was just way too early. But you know, his stud fee was only $7,500 this year. Last year, or a couple of years ago, it was $2,500. So he's moved up in the world, but still only $7,500. And of course, standing in California. But yeah, but he passed away, very sad, a heart attack. But again, if you're going to go the way
you
went.
That's the way you go.
Now, the good news is, there's something, speaking of the Fairfield Inn and Suites, you're going to want to also make sure you have Uber or Lyft as an app in your phone to get from the Horse Park to Fairfield, because Marla and Oscar's Beer Garden is making its debut at this year's Rolex Kentucky 3-day event.
What?
There's going to be a beer garden located across the road from the Rolex Stadium and the Kentucky Horse Park Lake area. They're going to have food and local beer with three microbreweries, and I'll buy beer from the Blue Stallion Brewing Company anytime, Country Boy Brewing, and West 6th Brewing. So the beer garden apparently is named after, I guess, the Equestrian Events Incorporated. They have two dogs that are always in the office, one named Marla and one named Oscar, a terrier mix and a border collie mix. So they named him Marla and Oscar's Beer Garden.
After that's funny.
Isn't that cool?
They're going to have little bowls for all the dogs to drink beer too.
I'm sure that, well, I don't know about beer, but I do know that they'll probably have, it has to be a dog-friendly place. I mean, it's Rolex. People drag their dogs around with them all day, but it's cute. Like, the little logo is the two dogs, little cartoon pictures. So they're named after the two.
We'll drive you around, Jamie. We'll make sure you get back and forth.
I'm not going to let you drive me anywhere because I'm not giving you any ammo. If I get drunk, it's going to be away from you. You need no help.
It's good for the show, Jamie. It's good for the show.
Yes. Yeah. You know what's not good for the show is the fact that this whole freaking thing is sponsored by horselovers.com. And all I've been doing is shopping since the show started.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, go over there right now. If you go to their daily deals section, they have right now 85% off closeouts of saddles, Wintec saddles, Dublin boots. They have the Dublin's Estuary Tall Boots, marked down from $259 to $80. They have the dress boots, marked down from $250. The Dublin On Air dress boots, marked down to $63.
From $259.
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
They have a whole bunch of different Dublin breeches. Dublin came out with a whole new line of stuff, which is why I think all of this is on closeout. But you know, now's the time to go over and find it. Weatherbeater blankets and here's a Weatherbeater.
Oh God, why did you point out the deals to me? I'm already got about six things in my cart.
They're Weatherbeater.
Like, how do I need anything else? But I do.
They have a fleece dress sheet. They're really nice ones with the hip ornaments from Weatherbeater for $40. So if you're heading to shows this year, and you know, everybody trashes those because after the show, we all throw them in a heap and they sit there and then the mice eat them and then you have to buy new ones.
What are you talking about?
I was talking about the fleece, the fleece sheets. I know you've never done that. And then they have the Roma reversible wither relief saddle pads, the ones that everybody seems to like, the wither relief ones, for $18 right now, marked down from $34. So yeah, you could add to that collection. How many chickens do you have? Are you allowed to get more saddle pads right now?
I do need a Kelly Green saddle pad.
Well, they have one right here, actually. That's the one they have shown here. Yeah, that's the one they have shown here.
It's the Roma pad. Oh, my God. It's on sale.
There you go. And then they also have boots and horse boots and tack.
I need to get two.
Shoulder relief guards and all of that at up to 85% off. But it's limited quantity, so you want to head over there today. And their daily deals really do only last a day. So you need to hop on over there right now and check it out. They also still have... Oh, they don't. We got the best fly spray deal there last year. I mean, they do.
I think we bought all of them.
No. Was it the Ultra Shield Sport?
It's the Blue Can.
Yes. They have the Ultra Shield Sport, get this, for $5 a can, marked down from $15. So if you go buy it right now, we bought a case of it, and it lasted us all summer, and it's really good stuff. And it has the bottles that you can spray upside down, and has that special continuous spray thing. And it's the best thing, and we need to buy another case because I think we used it all now. So we need to do that, Jennifer. $5 a can.
Yeah, now's the time.
Right now.
Now's the time. Yep.
Head on over there. We got a dozen last year, and you can go get yourself a dozen of last all. And it's citronella scented, so it doesn't smell like crap. That's the thing I liked about it. Horselovers.com. Head on over there today. One other news story. Speaking of Rolex, I've been meaning to tell everybody this because it's a cool thing they're doing. Every year, they donate to a charity some of the proceeds from the three-day event. And this year, they are donating to the Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. Now, Jamie, if you remember right, the Central Kentucky Riding for Hope is the riding center that's at the end of the horse park. You go back that back road by the Alltech Arena, and you keep going, and you're at the very end of the horse park, almost on the highway, and it's back in there. It's a beautiful facility. They do lovely work there, and I'm so happy that they're the ones that they're donating to this year. So they have a special farm-to-table dinner that raises money. They have a Twilight Run this year, the third annual 5K Twilight Run across the horse park. That's going to be on Friday of Rolex. So all kinds of stuff going on, and it all helps benefit the Central Kentucky Riding for Hope. So I'm very glad they're doing that.
That's awesome.
Now, Jennifer, we got a product in we weren't too sure about, and I hate, as a horse husband, straw bedding. Matter of fact, I did a fatwa on straw bedding about 10 years ago and said...
A what?
A fatwa. That's the
I don't even know who you are anymore.
That's the Arabic thing that you I just put it out of my mind and said, if it's straw bedding, I'm not cleaning stalls ever. I will not do it. It's too much work. It's too much hassle. It's not horse husband approved. And so when Jennifer said, well, this company named Goldfields wants to send us some chopped straw to test, I said, nope, that's it. You can do it. I am out. It's straw. I don't want anything to do with it. So
Jennifer, oh my God, my husband is like, this straw stall sucks. I'm like, it composts.
Yeah, but the only way to clean it is you got to throw it against the wall or make a big pile, and you have to go through every bit of it and clean every tiny little poop out of it. It's just a pain in the ass. You can't use your shake and fork because that doesn't work. So
that's true.
Yeah, so I'm out on that. But Jennifer, so tell everybody about it. We got it, and then I'll say whether it's horse husband approved. Because that's all that matters.
Well,
really.
we got an entire pallet of Goldfields dust extracted chopped straw, so we've been able to give it a very thorough test.
By the way, Goldfields, we were expecting 4 bags, and we got about 50.
Yeah,
showed up on a
dang straw. That would have saved me a whole lot of money if I'd have known about this before we had a foal.
You know, I don't even know when we started setting this up that you even had a foal at that point. It was a while back.
Wow.
All right, go, Jennifer.
There we go. So let's go through the reasons people don't like straw. For many, many years, the media has been telling us, and to some degree or another, the veterinarian community has been telling us that straw is bad because it's dusty, especially when you shake it out, right?
Yes.
Bad, bad, bad. Well, Goldfields took care of that. The dust is removed. There is no dust. No dust. If I take my bag of big fluffy shavings and I poof it around, there's dust. If I take a bag of Goldfields chopped straw, poof it around, no dust. So we can check that one off the list. Next reason people hate straw is it is hard to clean. Now, I disagree with that, but I understand it is labor intensive to clean. You have to use a different kind of a fork. You have to kind of have a skill set to tip the poop off the top of the straw. It is hard to clean. I'll give them that. But this stuff, get this, it sifts just like shavings. You can use your shaking fork.
That's correct, and yeah. I do. It does sift like shavings. I will say that.
Yes. So it sifts. Next reason people don't like straw is it's expensive. You buy a bag, a bale of straw for $7, and you bet a stall up. You're going to have to put 4 or 5 bales in there and fluff them up. Yeah. But shavings, $4 or $5 a bag, couple bags. But what I discovered, and this is one of the most surprising things for me, because I love straw to begin with, is 2 bags of this bedding equals 4 to 5 bags of my shavings, as far as the volume I get in my stall. It poofs out. You pour it out, and it poofs like one of those little sponges you buy that's dried up and you add water and it poofs out. It's crazy. So we'll check that one off. And probably the earliest disagreement about straw bedding that's been around probably since before the Industrial Revolution is it's really not all that absorbent. You tend to get puddles on the floor, especially now that everybody uses rubber flooring. Again, scratch that off the list, because whenever they chop it and remove the dust, they also run it through a mechanical process. I know what it is, but apparently it's top secret, so I'm not allowed to tell. So that it is literally more absorbent than shavings. So scratch that off the list. And now, Glenn, is it or is it not horse husband approved?
It's horse husband approved. I really liked it. And I went in not wanting to like it. I didn't want to like it. And I was really convinced I would not like it, but it really is. I use the shaken fork, and what do we have, the narrow tine or the wide tine shaken fork? I can't remember.
We have the regular tine.
The regular tine one. And so we use the regular tine shaken fork, and I can clean it. It is absorbent, so when you take the pea spot out, you're just taking the bedding and just taking it all out.
Now, it doesn't clump like pelleted bedding.
No, it does not clump like that. It acts like straw that way, but it's definitely more absorbent than straw, because you're right, straw is not very absorbent, and you sometimes can leave a puddle. Matter of fact, a lot of times when we use straw, we used to put sawdust down underneath the straw to just in the pea spot.
Yeah,
just to soak it up.
Yeah.
But I liked it. I like it a lot.
Yeah, and I might point out that how many times have we had to give Scooter his cough medicine since we started betting him on this straw?
That was the other thing. One of the reasons that we wanted to try, we were going to go back to regular straw, and Jennifer was going to have to clean the stalls forever, because Scooter was having dust and coughing issues, and we had him on his Omega, and we kept him on his medicine, but he still was having the coughing issues because of the dust in the bedding, in the shavings we were using. So this, he hasn't had it since. I haven't heard him cough once since we started using this bedding. It made a world of difference for that. So if you've got a horse that's prone to coughing or having lung issues of any kind, then this is, or is stuck in the stall for long periods of time in the winter, would be perfect for that too. Now, the one of the things that...
I wanted to look this up for the folks at Goldfields, and I haven't yet. There was a study done not too long ago, and it was done in Europe somewhere, where they were looking at bedding. It wouldn't surprise me if the Netherlands did this study, because it's the kind of thing they would do. And they did discover that horses will lie down and rest more when bedded on straw versus shavings. There you go.
I believe that for sure.
Yeah.
Now the one issue that I don't think it's available everywhere. How's that work? Because we had this discussion. Well, I don't know if
there is very limited distribution at this point. Your best bet to get a hold of it and to find a retailer near you is just to go to goldfieldscanada.com, their website, and we will put a link to that in our show notes. You can email them. You can give them a call on the phone. They're very nice folks up there. And find your local retailer. They do sell direct. So if you need to get a pallet or more, you know, you can just do it that way. You can just buy it direct from Goldfields Canada if you need a larger quantity of it. And they also make bagged hay. So if you need a supply of good quality bagged hay to go along with your bagged bedding, which is really easy to transport, that's maybe something you can combine together.
There you go. And it's about, what, 2 inches, 3 inches long when they chop it? It's pretty short. It's not real long. They're really
it's pretty short.
It up.
Anybody who's seen chopped hay in a bag that's been around for many a year, it looks like that. It's the same length of little bits, but it's small enough that it falls comfortably through your shaking fork.
I was ready not to like it, but I concede that, especially for Scooter, who's not coughing anymore after putting him on this. A matter of fact, he's not even using his cough medicine right now, right? So he's not.
No.
There's nothing, nope. And this made the world of difference. So,
and they don't eat it.
That's the other thing, because you know we used to have the horses. You probably have them, Jamie, right? The horses that eat every bit of straw in the stall.
Oh, Pink and Zara just grab the straw and just chew on it. I'm like, there's hay right there. What's your problem? They just eat it. So, I might have missed something because I had to run out for a second, but. So it comes in. Did you say that it was like long straw pieces or short little pieces?
Like 2 to 3 inches.
Yep. Short little pieces.
Yep. So easier to sift.
You can sift it. I use the shaking fork. Yep.
Clean it just like shaving.
And it definitely is approved for sure. It was, I still clean the stall. If it was straw, I just would tell Jennifer I'm not doing it.
So does it take like 900 bags to make a, what?
Two. Okay. This stuff fluffs. It really does.
It
the
really
bags
fluffs.
Are really condensed.
Whenever you pop open the bag, because they have it tightly compacted in there, normally when you open a bag of shavings, you cut the top out and you pour it out, right? This stuff is so tightly compacted in there, when you cut the top off the bag, it poofs out so you can't pour it. You have to literally cut the bag off and it goes poof.
It's wow. So am I allowed to ask how much it is? Or do
yeah,
you
it's
to
on
like
the website
go,
actually, and it's like $7 to $8 a bag, but it only takes us 2 bags to do a 12x12 stall.
I'm spending $8 to $10 a bag for shavings.
Whoa, you're spending a lot on shavings.
Whoa,
ours is only like
crazy.
5 to 6.
Yeah, it's really expensive out here for some reason.
You might want to contact them. And again, they're limited distribution at this point, but you might want to contact them and say, hey, look, if I buy, you know, this number, or is there a dealer in Phoenix?
Yeah.
You know, there is a dealer here in Ocala.
There might be a dealer in Phoenix, yeah.
Where
there is one in Ocala.
We were able to pick
one up. In Ocala here, they sell it for $8 a bag.
Yeah. All right, what's it called again?
It's goldfieldscanada.com. Goldfieldscanada.com. And it's our Canadian friends. They're nice. Hey, if I'm saying this straw's okay, it must be okay. And by the way, this is not a paid commercial. We were just testing the product because they wanted us to give it a try. And I said, I told them right away, I'm not going to like it. And they said, well, you just try it first. Yeah. So there you go.
You can even get it in scented. You
oh,
get
yeah.
It eucalyptus scented.
You can get eucalyptus, but I thought then maybe the horses would want to eat it. I don't know.
She said, no, they don't, because the eucalyptus on there is a little bit bitter. So it smells fabulous, but it's not tasty.
Can you imagine your whole stall smelling, your whole barn smelling like eucalyptus? That'd be cool. That'd be fun.
That's amazing. Okay.
All
I'm
right.
In.
There you go. Well, tomorrow we have the NATRC for you. And then Friday, really bad ads. You need to get your ads into Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. We have a couple of great prizes for you this month. So you want to get your ads in. Remember, if you record them yourself, we will give you double the entries. So record them on your phone and send them over to Jennifer at horseradionetwork.com. Get your ads in today. Jamie will be back Friday as well. So we'll have a fun show planned for you then. There's one other thing I wanted to talk about, and we're hoping to get them on next week. And you have to give me a second to pull it up. Next week, I actually head off to PodFest. I'll be doing a keynote speech there with our editor, Neil. Neil and I are doing the opening talk. There'll be 400 people there. And then, of course, the Messengers movie will be opening as well. So we'll get to see that. I am bringing this up. Give me one second. There's something that's coming up that Disney, I had a chat with Robin, our friend Robin at Disney, and we're arranging our third annual Disney episode, and we're trying to get Jamie involved in that one. So I got to talk to you about that actually a little bit after the show. But they're doing an audition right now, and she wanted us to ask the audience, and I know we have a couple. As a matter of fact, I mentioned it. Well, Jamie, you would be up for this now if you didn't have a child and a husband. you know, that little problem.
I don't know. Depends on what it is. Let's hear it.
How about Paris? How about working on horses, riding in a show at Paris Disney? So this is the scoop.
What husband?
And I mentioned this to the girl that was on Monday that does the trick riding. This is perfect for her. It's Buffalo Bill's Wild West show, a dinner show spectacular that they do at Disneyland Paris. And they're seeking talented riding individuals, and they need somebody to play cowboys. They need somebody to play Indians. They need an Annie Oakley. They need somebody that is a good rider, that preferably has had some kind of theater experience of some kind. I think they're more concerned about the riding. And if you've done any kind of trick riding in the past, then they definitely want to talk to you. They need people that have rodeo or ranch working skills, because they're also, I guess, you know, probably sorting cows or something. They need some people who do trick roping. If you've done any trick roping, the Annie Oakley character they're looking for is, and that'll be the head character, the headliner will be somebody that looks 20 to 30 years old, and that's between 5 foot and 5 foot four. Sound like you? Acting experience.
Except for the looking like you're 20 to 30.
You're still in that category. Yeah. They can use makeup. You'll be good. Vocal training. So if you're fluent, they want you to be fluent in American. So that's probably good for all of us. Well, this was printed out for the French, right? So, and this when is...
You say vocal training. Does that mean the skilled vocal stylings, like my singing? Because then I would
perfect.
Definitely...
Perfect. And I'm sure Annie Oakley will be singing through the entire show, the Wild West show. Now, this
know.
Is the cool part, is they're doing the auditions here at Disney World. So they're doing the auditions are taking place at Disney World in Florida. They want you to get this is what you must do. You must be 18 years of age, and you send your applications, resume plus recent photos, headshot, and a full-length photo before March 31st, 2017. If anybody's interested in that, I will send them a link. Send me an email, glenn@horseradionetwork.com, and I will get it over. If you have a headshot, or rather photos of you doing stunts, like you're a trick rider, or you're hanging off the horse, or standing riding Roman, or whatever, then definitely send those over. You'll want to send those in with your resume as well. But they're doing the auditions here, and this is what the deal is. It's an open-ended contract starting from September of 2017. They're giving you a housing allowance, airfare to and from Paris, bonus premiums for signing up, and you'll be working two shows 5 days a week in Paris. So there you go. There's a job opportunity for you from our friends over at Disney.
Wow.
Can you imagine if you were in your 20s still living in Atlanta and saw that come up? Would you have thought that would have been cool to do?
Yeah. Avi, that's amazing.
I mean, every girl's dream is to ride horses for a living, right? And here and a lot of horse women and men have that showmanship thing too. So there you're combining both. And this is the cool part. You get a regular paycheck from a company who's going to pay you on time, which never happens in the horse world.
Do they have Smile School? Do they have Smile School in Paris? And Paris Disney?
I don't know. Probably, you know, yeah. It is Paris Disney. They probably don't have to smile. So there's that. Sorry.
Send your hate mail to Jennifer.
HorseRadioNetwork.com. Sorry, Robin. We're trying to get somebody on next week that's the director that's going to do the auditions from Paris. And our friends at Disney are trying to arrange it for next week. So hopefully we'll get them on. And Jamie, you can do your best Paris accent talking to them.
All right, mate.
wrong one, Jamie. Wrong one. You got to practice your you're going to have to practice your French. You know, I took 4 years of French.
Even.
I took 4 years Bonjour. Of French in high school, and I know oui. That's it. That's all I got in French. Parlez-vous français? I know that.
All right, wrap the show, for God's sake. All right. People are tired of hearing us talk on this talk show.
Bye, everybody.
Everybody have a good one. Spay, neuter, gelt.